This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. The House State Affairs Committee will come to order. I'd like to welcome all the internet listeners out there. Anyone else that's participating remotely, a reminder to have your cell phones off. This time I'd ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Beal.
Here.
Chafee.
Here.
Goodwin.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Lesmeister.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Wiese.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Moved by Gosch, seconded by Beal. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Motion carries. We have some new pages here this week. Would you guys like to come up and introduce yourselves? Tell us where you're from and what your future plans are.
I'm Nolan Rounds from Pierre High School. I'm a senior this year. I plan on going to SDSU to study biochem.
All right, welcome.
Hi, I'm AJ.
You want to hit the mic button there.
Sorry, hi. I'm AJ Hicks. I'm also from Pierre. I plan on going to USD to major in criminal justice.
Awesome, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, with that, just a reminder, all testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. We're going to go in order of the bills on the committee agenda today. So we'll start with House Bill 1054, an act to require a copy of an initiated measure amendment on the ballot be provided to voters. Open for proponent discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, good to be here. I'm Representative Fred Deutsch from District 4, and today I bring you House Bill 1054. I do have an amendment. It's 1054D, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Would you like us to move that right away, or want to explain it first, and then we can hold on to it for discussion and moving it after, if you'd like.
Your preference, Mr. Chair.
Why don't you explain it? We're just going to hold it out there, and then we can act on that at the appropriate time.
Absolutely. So I'll speak to you today about 1054, assuming it will be amended. So I'll speak to both the bill and the amendment. The purpose of the bill is to help develop a more well-informed electorate. And as we all know, on occasion, some voters may go to the polls with the full good intention of reading the amendment before they go, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So this is an attempt to help those voters by creating a situation where at the polls there'll be copies of the initiated measure or the constitutional amendment available to read if they want to pick it up and read it. So the bill requires that each polling location have a minimum number of copies available equal to the number of booths at the poll. So if you go into the location and there's 15 voting booths, we would expect there to be 15 copies on a table or somewhere available for a voter to pick up, read, and then replace. I've asked LRC to give me an estimate of the total cost, and I've placed that email that I received from LRC on your desks. By their calculation, the total cost per measure would be $2,675.84 based on the last three general elections. And that would be per measure. The bill calls for that amount to be paid for by the state. It's a minimal amount, and I think it's appropriate that the state takes care of it. Last, in the event there's some type of an error or problem with making these copies available to the voters, we want to make it clear the last sentence on the amendment makes it clear that the failure to make a copy of the law, measure, or constitutional amendment under this section shall not be grounds to invalidate otherwise lawfully cast ballots. So if a poll worker messes up, we don't want that to be the basis to invalidate. That, in a nutshell, is the bill. It's pretty straightforward, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Deutsch. Any further proponents? House Bill 1054. Further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents for House Bill 1054? I'll open it up in the room here. I know we have one remote, I believe, as well. So we've got one coming up. We'll do the one in the room, and then we'll go to the remote testimony, Ms. Kirk, next. Or Turk, excuse me, next.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jim Ackerman. I'm a resident of Pierre, always have been. May I ask a point of clarification to what Representative Deutsch just brought up?
Go ahead.
And is he still proposing that the group that submits the petition be paying the expenses, or was that part of his amendment?
If the amendment that he is proposing would pass, no. It would be the state would be paying for it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess I would urge that you pass the amendment in that case. Basically, the analogy I'd like to make is that if a small group of citizens, such as some of the groups that I've been associated with over the years, have put measures on the ballot or circulated the petitions, versus a small group of citizens such as yourselves who pass this type of legislation. It stands to reason that if one of the groups has to pay expenses, then it seems logical that you yourselves or other proponents, other instigators within the body should also have to pay those expenses. That doesn't make sense to me, and therefore we go back to the original saying the initiator of the petition does not need to pay the expenses. Can I answer any questions?
I will get to that at further along in the testimony. If that's the end of your testimony, thank you.
Thank you.
Further proponent testimony, we'll go to our teams now, if you want to open that up. Ms. Turk.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you. My name is Rebecca Turk. I'm the registered lobbyist for Dakota Rural Action. Obviously, it's hard to see, but I am registered through the Secretary of State's website, and I am based in our Rapid City office. And I do want to thank the chair, LRC staff, and legislative interns for making possible for me to testify remotely in this hearing today. Recognizing that there is a new amendment, which is slightly different than the one that was posted yesterday, I have had a chance to take a look at it. And, you know, and I would say that if the amendment were to be moved, we would withdraw our opposition to this bill. But I do have some concerns because that hasn't happened yet. So I will, I guess, stand by for any questions, but recognize that we will withdraw our opposition should the amendment be moved. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Turk. We'd be able to stand by for questions if we get to that point.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Further opponent testimony, House Bill 1054. Seeing none, would you like some version of a rebuttal? I'm not quite sure with the committee, with what we've had.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to say that I'm sensitive to the input of emails that I've received and the opponent's concerns, and that was one of the reasons that I made the change. I think it's appropriate, so I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any questions? I think let's go ahead and take up this amendment right now so we can kind of decide what we're dealing with here first before we get any further in. So we've got an amendment out there, 1054D. Does anyone wish to move that at this time?
So moved.
Moved by Representative Hansen. Second. Second by Representative Jensen. Any discussion on that, Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think that this, number one, just gets the bill into the shape that the prime sponsor has requested, which I think is a fair thing to do. But also, I do like the policy that underlies the amendment. I think that it's I think that it's a good idea to have these measures available to the voters at the polls in case they just need to do some last-second reading of the measure. And I think it's fair that the state assume that cost. I also think it's important that the amendment includes the additional language at the end there, which just makes sure that if, for whatever reason, there was a failure to get a copy of a measure in the hands of the voter at a particular polling place, that that wouldn't invalidate otherwise lawfully cast ballots. So I think the amendment puts the bill into pretty good shape, and I would encourage your support.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Seeing none, we'll vote on amendment 1054D. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
No.
Motion carries. 1054D is amended. Excuse me, 1050. House Bill 1054 is so amended. Let's open it up for questions now, now that that's been amended. Any questions? Representative Goodwin.
Yeah, this is for Representative Deutsch.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Representative Deutsch, you talked about making copies available. And what concerns me is if it's 25 pages thick, we have copies available, and now with the COVID going on and everything, do they, can they look at the copies, set them back down, or do they have to take them with it? I just don't want to have where we just kill a million trees over this deal. Can you explain that?
Representative, actually bumped the mic up. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you. God willing, COVID will come to an end shortly. The average length of the ballot measure over the past three general elections has been 4 pages on average, some shorter, some longer. So some will be less costly than the estimate provided by LRC. Some will be more costly. And, you know, if the polling place wants to disinfect it or put it in a plastic or whatnot to deal with COVID, I don't know. You know, I mean, they have a voting booth to maintain and to sanitize, and they got the ballots and everything else that they use. So I look at that as a temporary concern. Thank you.
Further questions? I have one, Representative Deutsch. So this year we had, I don't know, 100,000 absentee ballots cast. How would this pertain to that now in this amended version of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, in the amended version of the bill, we are looking only to impact the polling places. This would not affect people voting at home because they can sit down in front of their computer monitor if they want to refresh and look it up. So this would only affect polling places.
Do you know of any other things that we do within election law that treats an absentee voter different in the amount of material they receive than someone voting in person?
Mr. Chair, I'd have to look that up, but offhand, I don't. And, you know, by the nature of voting at home and going to the polling place, I mean, it is different. Somebody at home can sit down at their leisure and they can look things up and research, whereas when you go to the polls, it is different. So this is just a way to help the voter if they haven't done their legwork previously.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm questioning whether this is even necessary because at our voting place, there already are copies of the initiated measures there. I don't know who brought them, who made them, or why they were there, but they were there. And, you know, do we need a law to do that or just continue doing what we're doing?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I've never had one at my polling place. Maybe yours is different, and maybe it varies across the state. I don't know. But I think anything that we can do as a state to help provide a more informed electorate is something we should be proud of and want to do. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Further questions? Further questions? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony and move on to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1046 as amended. Excuse me, 1054. We had that one last week, didn't we? 1054 as amended. Representative Jensen.
I'll move to pass.
Motion by Representative Jensen, second by Representative Hansen, do pass as amended. House Bill 1054, comments on your motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think this is an unreasonable request. Obviously, some polling places do provide information. I think I recall I'm from the same district as Representative Anderson. I don't think my polling place had them available, and I'm glad yours did. But each polling location probably takes that upon themselves. I just look at this as informing the public. And I think I agree with the sponsor of the bill that a lot of people that are sitting at home probably have their computer, they have their telephone, they can ask questions, they can look things up. When you're standing in line at the polling place and, oops, I didn't even know that amendment was on there, how many people just check something because they feel like they have to check a box? I think there's probably quite a few of those. So I don't think this is an unreasonable question. I'd like to see some discussion on the floor to see how all the other legislators feel because this really does impact the entire state. Thank you.
Further comments? Representative Goodwin.
I'm not going to vote in favor of this. I think it's unnecessary. It's already published in the paper. I know all my local papers have it. It's in the journal. They always put the ballot ahead of time. I mean, I think we're just adding on to things we don't need to, so I urge a no vote on this.
Further comments on the do pass motion? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll. All in favor, vote aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, to call the roll. You're muted right now.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Beal.
Aye.
Chafee.
No.
Goodwin.
No.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
No.
Reimer.
No.
Smith?
No.
Wiese?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Six ayes, seven nays.
Motion fails. Any other motions out there on House Bill?
We have to move everything.
Final action, yeah. Yeah. Representative Gosch.
Mr. Chair, I'll move 41st day.
Second.
Motion by Representative Gosch, second by Representative Beal, a motion to the 41st day. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, would the Secretary call the roll on the 41st day motion?
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
No.
Jensen.
No.
Lesmeister.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Weesey.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
10 ayes, 3 nays.
Motion carries. House Bill 1054 has been sent to the 41st day. With that, we're on to House Bill 1078, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the South Dakota State Historical Society. Open for proponent discussion and testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dr. Ben Jones. I'm the State Director of the Historical Society and the State Historian. If the pages would distribute a letter of support from our Board of Trustees President regarding the bill, I'd appreciate it. Mr. Chair, to sum up, this is a cleanup bill. The Historical Society is in its 120th year. It was created by the state legislature in 1901. Doan Robinson was the first director. The statute that enabled it was put into state law in 1901 and has been changed from time to time, but it's been quite a while since it's had a thorough vetting and cleanup and putting it where much of the practices is representative of the way things are done. This does, the details as you go through it do two main things. One is they bring the language up to date as far as the style, and the other thing is they take the Board of Trustees and put it in its kind of rightful place. In there are certain parts of the code, if you, I'll just draw your attention to Section 14 of the bill. Yes. Where the language is such that the Board of Trustees is determining the Historical Society's budget, and can be taken as that they are hiring and firing the director and the staff and personnel and so forth, when really the State Historical Society is a government agency that reports through the Secretary of Education to the governor. And so in practice, the Board of Trustees has not been doing things like that probably since the 60s or 70s. And so this really drew my attention to this over the summer. And the previous director and I thought that the statute ought to be updated. And as we went through much of the rest of the language, we found other minor things that we wanted to address and fix. Let's see. Yeah. So the language from this amends Section 1.18.17 is the key thing there, where it's redundant. The language is from 1945, and so this would bring it up to current day of how we manage a state agency. The rest, the other thing that it does is it takes, if you've been to the Cultural Heritage Center, which I hope that you have, it is, as far as we can determine, it's the only building that's named in state statute. And so we're taking the name out of the statute just to comply with the rest of the state policy about naming buildings and referring to that in the statute as the History Museum. Also there is the archives as well as the historical preservation staff and so forth. So we're just taking that out of the statute. And with that, I guess that sums up what the bill does, and I'd be prepared to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Any further proponents? House Bill 1078. Seeing none, any opponents? House Bill 1078. Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal. Any questions from any of the members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Question for Dr. Jones, please. This may be in the bill, and I just haven't read it thoroughly enough to find it, but I see in Section 8 you're changing your quorum from not less than 10 people, I assume, to at least 5%. What does that mean in terms of numbers? How many people are you going to have quorum now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, thank you for the question. So this refers to the total numbers of the society. Currently exists around 1,700 or so members. They meet to vote, and they vote through mail. So to get a quorum, I think we'd need 80, and we'd have no problem based on the voting patterns of the last several elections for the officers of the trustees to make that quorum. We get about 400, 500 votes.
Further questions? Thank you. Seeing none, we will close public testimony and move on to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
Move to pass.
Second.
Motion by Representative Gosch, second by Representative Hansen. Do pass motion, House Bill 1078. Any discussion on your motion? Any other discussion on the do pass motion? So the question before us is a do pass motion of House Bill 1078. All favorable vote aye. All opposed nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Weesey.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
13 ayes, 0 nays.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
Move consent.
Second.
Any objections to that? Nobody really wants to have the fun on the floor? Okay, we'll put this on consent. Any other thing before the committee? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Hansen, is a motion by Hansen, Representative Goodwin with a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.